Been quite a week in our nation, truthfully. Talked to somebody before first hour out in, here in the South Kokomo atrium, and he said, what do you think this week? What do you think of Wednesday? And I pushed back and said, what do you think? And this person said, I think we're in a mess. And I thought, that's not a bad description. And I'm going to speak to some of that in this message, but I encourage you, particularly those of you who join us online, or maybe you listen for a while and say, oh, that's enough, we'll dial on to something else. Don't keep scrolling, stay with us, because at the end, we're going to pray together for our nation, for us as a church, for each of us as individuals, the responsibility we have in this season. So plan for that. But you come in, you walk in, you say, I wonder what the message is going to be about. I have a gift for you. I'm going to tell you what the message is going to be about for the next 3 weeks, counting today. All 3 weeks, message is going to center on one statement. Here it is. The mission of Crossroads is to meet people where they are and help them take their next step with Christ. That statement is going to form what we look at for the next 3 weeks. Today, our focus will be on what's underlined, these first three lines. The mission of Crossroads is to meet people where they are. We'll stay in this part of the statement. 2 weeks from now, Brent's going to be up here, and he's going to help us close this series by looking at the last portion of this statement, helping people take their next step with Christ. And he's going to have some practical things, that doable things each of us can do to take our next step and also to help others take theirs. And you're going to want to stick in with that message. You want to make sure you dial in. If you can't be here live, make sure you catch that message. But next week, I'm equally excited about. Luke's going to help us understand how all of this statement applies and connects with the individual people in our lives. This isn't a mission, as I'll talk in just a minute, that we're just supposed to generally do to the world. But God has us on a mission that involves the individuals in our lives that he's placed in our orbit, in our circles, in our network, in our relationships. And Luke is going to help us make sure that we understand exactly how to live that out. So next week is a message you will not want to miss. Some of you may be saying this. I had this said to me in the last couple weeks as we prepared for this series. Oh, tell me we're going to preach about something else, please. I mean, mission statements, right? Church mission statements. You know, boring. How can you talk about a mission? Let's talk about something relevant. Why don't you preach something about politics? That'd get a lot of people's attention, right? Or it's a new year, we're trying to budget different. Why don't you talk about money? That'd be a real popular series, right? Or why don't you, we mentioned that we got the new virtual re-engage group starting tonight and some other things. Why don't we talk about marriages or relationships or homes or parenting? And new people start coming. Pastor, please don't talk. Let's talk about something that relates to them. Hear me. I know this. Please hear me. Please hear me online. Don't scroll away. There is nothing more important that we can be talking about right now. I know it from the core of who I am, than the mission of Crossroads. If you're newer to us online, or if you're newer in this room, just try and check us out, or maybe you're taking first steps of exploring faith or whatever else, I would say this. I want to talk to you about the fact that this church and us as part of it, we are part of something bigger than ourselves. It's a mission. It's an assignment entrusted to us by God to meet people where they are. There's nothing more thrilling than to give your life and your resources and your time and your talent towards something that God himself trusted you with. So I urge you, stick in here. We'll try to get through this morning. First one is this, mission. That's the first line if you're typing in the notes. Mission. The meaning of the word is to send, from the Latin word, to send. And you understand that. You may be heard, if you're around church at all, you hear about something, well, somebody is a missionary from a church. That's the kind of the plural of missioner, on mission. Somebody that leaves where they could be, where they are, where they could stay, and gets sent somewhere else to where they are there as a part of an assignment given to them by the folks that send them, okay? You understand this from a government standpoint. Sometimes you hear about, well, our leaders send somebody on a diplomatic mission. They're sent from the government, from authority. They're sent to another country. And when they're in that other country, they are to do the business of their government, to do the assignment of the one that sent them, okay? And let me try this just to help us kind of get a grasp on it for us that are here. Raise your hand. Do this at home too. Raise your hand if you were born in the state of Indiana. Okay, just about like first hour. Can't see you online, but statistically, if we're typical, 4 out of 5 people that live in Indiana were born in the state of Indiana, okay? Now, raise your hand if you were born in another state, like Ohio or Michigan or Illinois. I was born in Illinois, so I'm from Illinois. I was not born here, okay? Raise your hand if you were born in a foreign country with a strange culture like Canada or Kentucky. Raise your hand. Oh, okay. No. Did you ever consider this? You ever consider that no matter where you were born, or no matter where you live, whether you know it or not, maybe you were sent. Maybe you don't live in your neighborhood by accident. Maybe God puts you there. Maybe you don't work in your workplace by accident. God puts you there. Maybe you're not in your school. We're in an area, and this is an era to where you can choose what school you go to, and I think I'll go to this school because they got good programs, and their bus will come pick us up, whatever else. Maybe you're not in a school by your choice. Maybe you were sent. Maybe you're part of a friend group or a club or an organization or a group, and you just think you chose to be part of that, but you were sent there. It's a mission. We're on a mission. And let me tell you, give you a verse in just a minute, where Jesus, at the point early in his ministry, after he spent the time being tempted Luke chapter 3 by Satan, and after he spent time fasting and praying for 40 days, and after the scripture said he was filled with the Spirit, it says he went back home and went to church. And he walked into church in Nazareth, and when it came time, said, anybody want to read something from God's word? And he says, I'll read. And he stood up. They handed him a scroll, and it was from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And he reads these words found in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has, and I underlined this, he didn't. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And all God's people there said, amen. And the scripture says he sat down, and they looked at him, because normally when you read scripture, somebody would say, well, you have any comments on that scripture? And he said, well, yes, actually I do. The prophet is saying there's going to be somebody someday that's going to be true about. And Jesus said, that be me. The Spirit of the Lord's on me. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me. And if you read it after this, they said, well, wait a minute, we know you. You're Mary's son, and Joseph, he was your dad, or there's some sort of story about that. I forget. We kind of try to not think about it, but he died. And it's carpenter business is kind of left in the dust. I assume you're going to pick it up. You or one of your brothers. What are you saying? And he says, I've got a mission. The prophet described it. It's a mission given to me by God. I'm anointed by him. I'm sent by him. And I'm letting you know right now, I accept the mission. Let me show you a couple pictures. One of these you'll probably recognize, most of you here, no matter what your age. This is Tom Cruise. Mission Impossible movie fame. There have been, I think, 6 Mission Impossible so far, and number 7 is going to happen, they say, in a couple of years. And on a crazy thought, I checked, when number 7 is released, he'll be 60 years old. It's marvelous what they can do with lighting and makeup, doesn't it? 60, if he's 58 right here, or no, he's much younger than that in that picture. But the guy on the other side, some of you will recognize, some of you won't. This is a guy named Peter Graves. Peter Graves, Tom Cruise played Ethan Hunt in the Mission Impossible movies. Peter Graves played Jim Phelps in the Mission Impossible TV series that the movies sprung out of. It happened back in the 70s. It was a concept that they took when they went to make the movies. He played in that series for a number of years. Both he as Jim Phelps and Cruise as Ethan Hunt, they took, and the movie played off of the early pattern that they had in the series concept and the movie concept, and it was this. They would walk into some place, and in the technology of that day, there'd be a recording that would be recording of a voice of authority that they never saw, that would say, "Good morning, Mr. Hunt," or "Good morning, Mr. Phelps," and would then tell them, "The world's in a bad place, there are bad guys around, there's evil things about to happen, there's a syndicate in play, there's these leaders that are doing these wrong things," and whatever else. And then it would say these words, "Your mission." Remember the next words? "If you choose to accept it." Your mission, if you choose to accept it. We have a mission, Crossroads. We have a mission collectively. We have a mission that includes you online. You're a part of us online. It includes you. It includes all of us. We also have a mission individually. Each one of us, our homes, our lives, our very existence, God has sent us to meet people where they are. And let me tell you something that has haunted me during all this time of pandemic and vaccines and battles about vaccines and masks. Would you have ever dreamed? A year ago, if I'd have told you and preached in January, I said, "I bet we're going to spend most of 2020 arguing about whether we should wear a mask." You would have locked me up and said I was crazy. But we spent a lot of time on it, arguing about ropes, arguing about race relations, arguing about which lives matter. Remember that? Arguing about who we should vote for, arguing about whether the voting was legitimate. Culminated this week in arguing about whether we should even count or certify the votes that have been counted and need at some point to be certified. And could I suggest this to you? It's been gnawing inside of me. I think it's true collectively for the Big C Church. I think it's true somewhat for us. I know it's been true at times for me. We've lost sight of the mission. We have become too interested in things that are not our mission. Our mission is to meet people where they are and help them take the next step with Christ. Our mission has to be accepted and pursued with everything we have. Our mission deserves us looking at our finances. You start a new year and saying, "How much more can I give to accomplish the mission of my church?" And sometimes, maybe in senior pastor transition, and I don't know who's going to be in charge, let's wait and see who they vote for, and I'll decide whether or not I want to get more involved serving or want to give more then, and I'm going to hold back now or whatever. And we have a mission. We have a mission, and I fear in this season we've lost some sight of it. And I do know this, the Big C Church, hear this, the Big C Church has got distracted enough from our mission that there are people that we need to meet where they are, and they don't want to meet us because they don't like how we have behaved, believed, posted, talked, treated, supported in the last 12 months. Truth. We have a mission, and it's possible to get off of it. And let me point this out to you. You accept the mission when you submit to the sender. Let me say this. You say, I used to do some things, and then nobody's told me to do anything lately on the mission, so I kind of, you shouldn't be dependent on who it is telling you, because no person talking to you is the sender. The sender on your mission is your Heavenly Father. He gave the mission. And therefore, we serve Him and we accept the mission when we submit to Him. You say, well, I used to write, but I kind of stopped writing checks. You know, the senior pastor's gone, not kind of sure, don't like it as well. You give because of submission to the sender. It's the sender that determines what you give. Not the next senior pastor of this church, certainly not me serving in an interim role here, not any of the rest of us. It's the sender. And on it goes, your witness and the pandemic and whether or not you've got a vaccination yet or not, or whether or not you believe that we should have to wear masks or not, you have a mission. And when you submit to the sender, you accept the mission. And you prioritize it. And I fear in this last year, there's been times to where we've not accepted the mission. Write down another word. Method. Meet people where they are. You can say, I'm going to reach people, and here's our method. We're going to build a building. We're going to have periodic services, and we're going to make sure the doors are open. There's a parking lot where they can park and driveway right in the drive-on. And anybody that walks in, we'll try to help them. That's a method. That's not our method. That's not the method God has assigned us. God has assigned us as a church to meet people where they are. God has assigned us to sit and to stay, as we'll talk in a minute. God has assigned us to move and to go. And God has assigned us to find out where they are, to meet them where they are, and to help them take their next step with Christ. Luke chapter 19, Jesus is on his way to the cross. Prior to that, it says that at one point toward Jesus, it says he set his mind saying, I've got to get to Jerusalem. I've got to die for the sins of the world. He's making his way along, and he chooses to go down east of Jerusalem, down along the Jordan River, and goes through a town called Jericho. Jericho was the town that Joshua conquered years ago, that when it was rebuilt, God says nobody should rebuild it. It's a cursed city. Some did. There were people living there. Many of those people, our understanding were the crooks and the bad people and the folks that were lawbreakers that lived in Jericho. Most folks didn't stay in Jericho. You traveled through Jericho. Jesus did the same. Didn't spend the night making his way through. There was one crook there named Zacchaeus. His poster wasn't on the police station wall because instead of the government looking to arrest this crook, they'd employed him. He was the chief tax collector of the area. He knew how to get the taxes Rome wanted, and he knew how to get enough extra money to make him rich. He had a lot. Those that he collected taxes from had less. He was not very well thought of except by the other tax collectors, and he was kind of their lead guy and boss. And we're told, as Jesus makes his way through, the only thing we're told about this guy Zacchaeus is that he was short. You say, how short? I don't know. When they wrote a song about him, your grandkids would tell you he was a wee little man. I don't know how wee he was, but he was wee enough. He didn't think he could see Jesus as he got through. So he climbs up, right, the song says, in the sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. He's up there. He says, I think I'd like to see this guy. Why would you like to see this guy? Because I've got a tax collector Facebook friend named Matthew. And Matthew's in this other part of Judea. And he tells me he closed his office and he's following this guy. And this guy's worth seeing. And I want to see him and maybe listen to him a little bit as he goes by. I'm afraid I can't see him. I'll climb up in the tree and just watch from afar. And Jesus is walking through and he stops and looks up in the tree. He said, what's up? And Zacchaeus does this little wave down from the branch, and Jesus says, hey, get down here. And Zacchaeus comes down and says, you got any dinner at your house? Well, actually, I'm having some friends. I don't really have friends. They're tax collectors. And they're kind of with me because we make money together on the backs of other people. But yeah, they're coming over. Got an extra chair? Yep, I'm going to come. And Jesus goes to his house and he spends time with him. And then sometime during dinner, Zacchaeus puts down his Chick-fil-A and starts to weep and says, I'm telling you, Jesus, I have cheated a lot of people. I have cheated people, and I'm confessing it, and I've got great records, and I'm going to look at my records, and anybody I'm cheated, I'm going to pay them back multiple times over. And Jesus said this. He said, this is why I'm here, buddy. My mission, the Son of Man, comes to seek. I should have underlined this in the notes. Too late now, last service. Comes to seek and to save those who are lost. He said, I wasn't called just to stay back, and if anybody came to me, it's okay. I was called, I was sent, I was commissioned to seek. Hear me. What would have happened if Jesus had walked along and not looked up in the tree? Zacchaeus would have watched him go by, and Zacchaeus' life stays unchanged. What would have happened if Jesus would have looked up in the tree and say, hey, that's about close enough. Just want to say, hey, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. Go die for the sins of the world. Good luck to you. And walked on. What would have happened if when Zacchaeus came down and Jesus looked and says, man, you're short. I don't like short people. I'm not so sure. If you were a little taller, I might go home with you. But I don't trust short people. I've heard about you. You're one of the chief crooks here in town. This is a town of crooks, and you're one of the chief ones of it. I'd better stay away from you. What would have happened? But Jesus went to his house, heard his story, got to know where he was, met him where he was, and his life changed. Now, let me ask you, that's one of Jesus' stories. I don't mean this to sound guilt producing it all, but what's your story? What is the story? If I were to say, if I were at home with you online, sitting in your living room, and I were to say, what are you doing to meet people where they are? What would you tell me? If I were to come and sit down beside some of you that are here, said, hey, stick around after service. I want you to sit down and talk. And I'm not trying, it's not, but it's a mission. God gave us an assignment, and he said, well, he's probably going to give us a pause, write us an exception, a pass. We can wait until COVID's over, until all the vaccinations have happened, until the masks have all been burned, and then, my goodness, and Biden got elected, so probably we won't have to do anything but just wring our hands for the next 4 years. No, we have a mission. We have a mission. So what are you doing? And God gave me this point. Above all the rest in the message, I said, I've got to say this point. To meet, you have to move. If Jesus had not moved, he would have never met Zacchaeus where he was. You got to be willing to move out of your comfort zone. You got to be willing to move. We got to be willing to move out of what's natural. We got to be willing to move out of our judgmentalism. You judge people from afar. You get to know who they are when you meet them, when you get contact, when you connect, when there's relationship. You got to move beyond our busyness and our excuses and move beyond so many other things. If you're going to meet people, you have to move. Example right now is Crossroads North Kokomo ended their services earlier. Why do we have folks at the Y? It was not that many years ago that everything Crossroads did was primarily based out of this building. Online didn't exist. North Kokomo didn't exist. And truthfully, there wasn't a whole lot of vision for it. And then we became more and more aware of God giving us a burden for the people of the north portion of Kokomo. And we became more aware than ever that if we were going to just hold services here, open the doors, pave the parking lot, put up signs, say, hey, come out to us, come here, and we'd love to connect with you, that we were going to see a lot of them. But when we chose to start a campus in a rented facility at the Y, and then to purchase a building in the process of finishing the renovation of it to have a permanent home. That was because we're called to meet them. We had to move from South Kokomo to North Kokomo. We had to move from being out here more in Tipton County to being right in the heart there on Main Street. We had to move to meet people. Truthfully, those of you who join us online, if this is a typical weekend, for every one person that's in one of our rooms here in person on campus, there will be two of you that are joining us online. We are literally scratching our heads, meeting together, talking, researching. I am promising you, we are trying to find a way to meet you where you are. Instead of saying, well, let's hope once they'll just stop watching online, everybody come back to in person, we do away with that camera, and I don't know that I trust the internet, it's not near as good. No, that's where you are. And we're called to meet you there. And you need to pray that we figure out how to do that better, because it's an assignment, it's a mission from God. Let me say this. What's the motive? It's a heart for individual people. God so loved the world, yeah, but he loved a world of individual people. John chapter 10, Jesus said this, I'm the good shepherd. And he is good. Look there, he's willing to sacrifice his life. What's his motive? For the sheep. He's willing to sacrifice his life for the sheep. Notice this point. Our mission matters because people matter. I'm not going to camp there much today. Luke is going to do much better than I could in this message at making sure we hear that next week. You want to dial back in or show back up. You want to do it. But I'm going to tell you a couple things that are just as much on my heart. I cannot not say these. Listen to me. If we succeed with our mission, the eternal destiny of people is changed. If we succeed at our mission, guess what? Heaven increases in population. You want to talk about something thrilling to do with your life? What if you could say, I added to the population of heaven? Oh man, that's thrilling. But do you realize this? If we don't succeed, people are the ones that suffer. And I'm going to tell you, in the role that I am in, I get more things directed to the church than I used to when I was more in an executive pastor role. And that's right to do. I should. I got two reports over the holidays. Both reports were from single ladies. Both of those single ladies used to attend here on a frequent basis. Both of those ladies served here. Each of those ladies said in their own way, but they said this very, but we have made so many efforts in the last period of time. We started early in the year, and tell you, and we organized as a staff, and we tried to reach out to folks and to pray with folks and to call folks. And we did a lot, but I had two ladies that contacted and said, look, haven't been back since COVID happened. Haven't had anybody check on me. I've been struggling, and I want you to know I've had enough. Not going to come back. I reached out to both of them instantly. I tried to rebuild the bridge that we had torn down. It was unsuccessful. And I don't say that to do anything except this. Somehow, when God called us to meet people where they are, we did not effectively meet those two ladies. And I will tell you, as a leader of Crossroads, God and I have had conversations about it. The mission matters because people matter. Now let me say this, and we're going to pray at the end here. And I know I'm over time. I'm going to be over time. Hear me. I'm pretty good with dates. I suspect for the rest of my life, as long as I remember anything, I'm going to remember January 6, 2021. Holy cow, we thought, can't wait to get rid of 2020. 2021's got to be better. And then we got to Wednesday. And as the images started coming in, and as I spent time Wednesday evening and Thursday and Friday reading reports and reading about folks that were instantly doing, we got into our camps and here's it, and it's their fault. No, it's their fault. No, they infiltrated us and all this going on and the stirring over this and the assignment and what's legitimate and the vote fraud and all this stuff going on. And then you'd read down in paragraph after paragraph and stuff and opinion and stuff. And oh yeah, five people died. Five people died. Five homes had somebody not come home. Mom and a grandma that grandkids and kids no longer have a mom and a grandma. Wife that no longer has a husband. A police officer, for Pete's sake, died while we're fighting over an election. And I'm gonna say this statement. I'll be an equal opportunity offender here. I'll tell you, I am disgusted with our elected leaders of all types. Our leaders should keep us safe and keep order and keep us having confidence that they have an integrity to do that. And somehow we have so messed things up that as we were fighting over an election that is over, no matter what happened in it, it's over. And we fought about it, and five people died, and nobody seemed to care. The fight just went on. People matter. And church, if we don't get lasered in on the mission, it's going to impact lives in a way that breaks God's heart. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. The scripture's plain. When you get in a situation like this, when your world is a mess, 2 Chronicles 7:13, when your world's a mess, he says, here's what you do. He says, don't speak. God says, I'm not going to speak to the church, to the world. I'm going to speak to the church, to the church. Humble yourselves. Repent of your sins. Truthfully, I hold our government leaders responsible for the fact that people died this week. I hold them responsible that a protest had to get to that level. But truthfully, for where we are with the divisions, with the unrest, with the antagonism, with the camps that we're in on both sides, church, we owe some of the responsibilities because we may have forgotten that it is our job to preach about a Jesus that heals, that is a Prince of Peace, that is, as Brent talked about, the healing of the nations. He's provided for that. And we've tended to jump into the camps instead of stay on mission. So here's what we do. We're going to, at the end of this service, we're going to humble ourselves across this room. And in just a moment, I'm going to urge you to do something we don't normally do. Did it a couple months ago. Going to do it one more time. We're going to kneel to show, to tell our bodies we're humbling ourselves before God. We're going to pray. And we're going to commit to keep praying. Okay? So in this room, bow if you will. Get on your knees. Those of you online, do the same thing, whatever room you're in. And let's get ready to be serious before God. You can humble your body. I urge you right now, take a moment, humble your heart. Ask God to show you if there's any chance you've gotten off mission. Ask God if in the midst of this time of unprecedented distrust and division, ask God to reveal any sense to where you've forgotten what he sent you to do, what he sent us to do. Take a moment and ask God right now. You at home, you in this room. God. You said plainly that judgment first begins at the house of God, so we present ourselves before you collectively as a church, individually as your people, and ask you to show us where we've gotten off mission, where our attitudes, where our words, maybe even our actions have not reflected you well to a world that needs to see you. God, help us. Whatever you point out to us, God, give us courage to repent. But God, we unite as Crossroads in praying for our country. We unite as Crossroads in praying for our government, for our leaders, for our elected officials, for those that are elected that are about to assume office, and for those that are already in office. We pray for your voice to be so loud and so clear that they can't help but hear it and respond. We pray for healing. We pray for peace. And we pray for all of us to get a collective heart that beats for the welfare of people as opposed to our particular positions or views. So help us, God, not just to pray now, help us to keep praying. We ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.